Again, I want to say it's good to be here this morning. Brother Casey asked me if I would fill in for him. I'd already had a thought, but at that time, that's really hadn't studied it through or anything like that. And I've been, in this past week, I've been trying to get in a place where the Lord would help me to study and to understand what he would have me to bring today. I ask for your prayers this morning. It's been a while since I've been able to stand, and I'm kind of got a little bit of the jitters. So pray for me. I had some good advice shortly after I first started preaching. I was told to preach what you know for sure. I found that to be some of the best advice that I've gotten, because I know that the Lord saved my soul, and I know that he will save anyone and everyone that will come to him with that broken heart and contrite spirit, asking him to do so. Scriptures that have been upon my heart today can be found in the book of John, chapter 16. I'd like to begin at the first verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Correctly reading, that's chapter 16 of John, verses 1 through 11. Again, the verse that stuck out to me, and where my main thought will come from this morning, will be from verse 7. Is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That word expedient, again, is my main thought. I personally think it means it's needful and it's urgent that it goes away. And I'll get more into that here in just a little bit. But there in the first four verses, we find Jesus has given the disciples a warning. He had been with them. He had handpicked them to come with him, that he could teach them, that they could go out and they could spread the gospel. But Jesus knew that the time was coming that he would be crucified. And he knew that these disciples, even though he had taught them many things, he knew that they would be needing help. Now Jesus, if you remember the woman at the well, Jesus and her, and they met there at the well, and how that the woman, she went into town and told the people there, come and meet a man that told me everything about me. He knew everything about me. Jesus knows everything about everyone in this world. But he could only be in one place. He could only be there with that woman. He couldn't be in another place with someone else. He was God, but he was in the body, just as we are in the body. He could only be there with that one person. And he seen the need because he knew when he was crucified that and he was buried and he rose again. He knew that the disciples, they would need help because the old devil, he would be upon them every step they took, just like he is with every saved person. The old devil would be with them, and Jesus knew that they would need the help. He would go and he would send the Holy Spirit, and it was needful that he do so because the disciples, when they went out into all these places and they was preaching the gospel, the Spirit would guide them. The Spirit would guide them how that they were to preach to these people, and that what they were preaching was the same thing that you hear from this pulpit today. From Brother Moran, from Brother Casey, from Brother Buddy, from Brother Mike, all of those men that have stood in this pulpit, they preached the very same thing those disciples preached. They preached Jesus, and they preached him crucified. They preached that he died for the sins of each and every man, woman, and child in this world. They preached the same thing. They preached how that you must seek after Jesus. You must look to him for the salvation of your soul. They preached the same thing. But they needed help. And the Holy Spirit, here the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that is the one that would help them to do so. I look back in chapter 15, verse 18, it says, If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There again, Satan was all over them. All the people, and he told them how that they would be going to the synagogues where all the people would go to worship, but yet they would throw them out because they were preaching Jesus. And those people didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't believe that he had come to save each man, woman, and child in this world. They didn't have that. And that's why they needed the Holy Spirit to help them. There, verses 5 and 6, it says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." I want to go back to John chapter 10 and verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And then, chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Again, I want to say, the disciples, they preached Jesus. They preached him crucified. They preached about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Again, we today, we try to preach the same thing to the best of our ability with the Lord's help. And the Lord does help us. Jesus said, His sheep know Him. Those that are saved, truly saved, the Spirit of God has come within their hearts. And they know Him. They commune with Him. They talk with Him. With the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 7 there, it says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. Brother Mike touched on it a little bit in Sunday school today. Second chapter of Acts, it tells about the disciples and how that they were there in that upper room. And how that they were there in one accord praying because their Lord had already been crucified. And their hearts were saddened. And they was praying. But then the sound of a rushing mighty wind come through and the Spirit come upon them. And they was like cloven tongues above them. And they spoke in other languages as they was giving utterance. You see, the Holy Spirit coming to them and was helping them. And then after that, the disciples, they all went out and they all went different ways. And they preached the gospel. They went different ways so more people could be able to hear. And that's why we have more churches today in different places where the gospel can be preached, where hopefully we can reach more people. But you know, not only will the Holy Ghost help those that are preaching the word, it will help those that have been saved to tell their testimony. I know what it's like before I was called to preach and be sitting in a service, and all of a sudden it just felt like you just had to do something. You just had to stand up and let it go. You know, the Spirit, it will get in a place within us that we have to let it know. We have to tell it. We have to let it known what has happened to us. Other times the Spirit is just still and calm and peaceful. Either way, it's a beautiful thing. Now then, the only thing, that's not the only place where the Spirit will help. The Spirit will help those people that are lost also. When the gospel is preached, the Spirit will take that word and it will take it down deep within their heart. You heard in the reading that it will reprove them of sin. It will make that their sins known unto them, that they know that they are sinners, that they know they are separated from God, that they know that if they passed at that very moment, their home would be in hell. You know, you don't hear a lot of people preach that in other places. But it's the truth. And that's what I'm here to do today, is to preach the truth. God wants to save you from going to that awful place. He wants to bring you to a place where you can bow down yourself and humble yourself unto Him and cry out to Him. I can remember doing that very thing about right here in front of where I'm standing now. But it was the help of the Holy Spirit that got me to that place, because hearing the gospel and hearing people testify, it would get in your heart, it would get in your head, and you would question, and then all of a sudden you knew within your own heart and it was ready to bust. You didn't know what to do. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is He will help you to pray. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. The Spirit will help you. If you know you're lost and separated from God, find you a place where God is leading you. We see nowadays a lot of people bow down in the altars. And that's good. But if the Lord is leading you to come up to the altar in front of the other people, that's where you need to go. I know within my own self, I had to come up here. I had to come up here in front of everyone because I had the pride thinking that I didn't want to go up there. Everybody would see me. Everybody would look at me. I personally, the Lord led me right up here. And that's what you need to do. If you're lost and separated from God and He's working upon you, you need to go where He leads you to go. Bow yourself down. The Holy Spirit will help you pray. And Jesus is right there by the Father. And He is listening. And He will make intercessions for you. He wants to save you. Now then, pardon me, I've got a throat problem. Like I said, Jesus, He's sitting there at the right hand of God, and He wants to make intercessions for you. He wants to help you. He wants you to be saved. He don't want you to go to devil's hell. He wants you to be right there in heaven. He went to prepare a place there in heaven. I think about that sometimes. The very Son of God is up there and He's preparing a place for me right now. A place where I will be able to go when I leave this world. And I know that I will be there because of a time and a place I had with Him. I pray that everyone in this place today has that time and place, a testimony when you know, when that sweet peace come within your own heart, that burden just went away, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, it's something you can feel. It's something you feel within your heart, and you know, and there's no doubt about it. I thank God that I have that. I thank God for every testimony that I've heard. I look over here and I see Brother Mike, and it makes me think about the trip I made with him and Brother Rick to Jamaica. I didn't know I was going to go here, but that's okay. But I think about that trip, and I think about it quite often. We went over there to the school. Brother Rick, Dwayne, and myself, we was there in the auditorium of that school. Every grade in that school, every teacher, everyone around gathered into that auditorium. Brother Rick, Brother Dwayne, and myself, we was all shoulder to shoulder, standing up in front, and there probably wasn't much more room than reach out and you could touch the people. But I want you to know, everyone in that building, that day, every eye, you know, we read in the book of Nehemiah that they were all there and they was all standing and waiting and wanting to hear the word of God. That's the way these people were. They couldn't wait to hear. Every eye was looking and every eye was attentive. You know, my heart was breaking for those that was there because I knew many of them were lost. They'd even said so. And when they bowed down to pray, you could hear them. And they would cry out. They would cry out to the Lord, and it'd break your heart knowing that they was so much trouble. But you see, they had to do that themselves. We can pray for you in your behalf, but that prayer of repentance, it needs to come from your own heart. It can't be something that someone else has written down and you read it, because that is not your prayer. That's just something, oh, it might sound beautiful. The words might be beautiful, but that's not what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for what's in your heart. That's what He's looking for. I think about, there was a woman that had an issue of blood for like 12 years. Been to many doctors. Many doctors, and they couldn't help her. She heard Jesus was coming, and he was coming through the town there, and there was a lot of people around Jesus, all crumbled up, and they was there, sort of like a mob of people. And this woman thought within herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I can see that woman within my mind's eye. I can see her weaving and making her way through that cloud just so she could touch the hem of his garment. And when she did, Jesus felt virtue go out. He asked, "Who touched me?" The disciples looked at him, and all this crowd of people around you, and you ask, "Who touched?" He looked at the woman. He told her, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Thy faith. You see, when we go to God, we have to have faith in him. We have to have faith in believing. We have to believe that what we are asking for, that's what he will do. And we have to have faith that he will do it. And can do it. Now God can do anything. Anything and everything. But yet, we need to ask. Pardon me. Again, I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. I thank the salvation for your soul if you've been saved. I thank him for that. Because we have more people that the Spirit can use to go out and witness to those that do not have that salvation within themselves. You know, we can't go out, we can't drag them in, we can't do all that, but the Bible does say go out and bushes and to compel them to come in. We can ask them to come with us to church. We can ask them about things. Would you come to the Bible school with us? Would you come and be with the vacation Bible school? And I thank God for those that brought the little ones with them. And you know, those are great things to do. And we need to continue to teach just like the disciples teach. I had another thought about the Spirit. As a lot of you know, I'm an electrician by trade. Back in older days, we didn't have the lockout, tag out, and all these things where you put locks on breakers and all this kind of thing for safety and all that. You'd just go over there and you'd turn it off and go to work on it. Well, sometimes somebody would come through and they'd trip the breaker running a saw or something, and they'd go over there and they'd turn that breaker on thinking that they'd tripped it. Well, there you are. Well, boy, you felt it right then. You couldn't see it. But you felt it. You think about these lights that are on. The electricity that it takes to run these lights. You can't see it. You see the effects of it. We have an illustration in the Bible about the wind. It bloweth where it listeth, and you feel the effects thereof. But you can't see it. That's the same way with the Spirit of God. He can come into this place at any time and fill each and every one of us. But you know, we've got to be in a place in ourselves, in our own hearts, that we can allow that to happen. I know I personally I have been sitting back here in the congregation, and I would feel the Spirit of God, and I would just kind of sit there and let it go by. I'm not going to lie to nobody. I've done it. But let's try to get away from that. God is trying to stir you up for a reason. There may be someone that needs to hear the testimony of how you got saved, the things you went through, the troubles you had in your heart. It is most important that they hear about those things. I know myself that hearing the testimony of God's people, hearing that people come up and tell how they'd been saved. I know that when Kevin Duff come up here and told about being saved and his baptism was set for 2 weeks later, just him being set 2 weeks later put me in all kinds of confusion. Because, see, I had been told that the baptism is what saved your soul. But it's not. It's God that saves your soul. Baptism is what you go through to show what you have already been through. That you have died to your sins and you're rising up to walk in a newness of life, in a godly life. But hearing those things, that made all the difference for me. People getting up and going to talk to someone. I remember when I was lost, I was sitting back there and my hands on that bench and they was on there. My knuckles were white. I was holding on. I couldn't wait for the song to stop. Someone come up and they put their hand on my shoulder and I broke down like a little baby. And that's when I went to the altar. The things that we do make a big difference. If it's led by the Spirit and by the Lord, we need to continue and do those things every time we have the opportunity, every time we have the chance. Not only in this building, but in our workplaces. If someone's talking to you about the so many troubles that they're having, and the Spirit is leading you to say something, say something. I know it gets hard in those places. You got so many people around there, and most of the time you have people with a foul language and all those things. But you know what? The Spirit will help. Just like He will help a lost soul pray, He will help you to explain to those people about God and all the things that they need to know. He will help you. You know, I know this has not been lengthy, but that's what God has put upon my heart today. Lost people, I want you to think. In the Bible, it tells us about Sodom and Gomorrah. Men with men, women with women. God destroyed those cities. You look in this country today. Just look around. They're fighting so they can marry each other. On top of that, we have people that are killing innocent children. God's not happy. He sees those things. If He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, surely He could destroy this country that quick. We need to get back in a place where we are willing to teach like the people that did in the older days. We need to get back to a place where you're going down the street and you hear somebody praying over here in their garage. If you're walking down the street, down in the park, and you hear somebody praying over there in the woods, somebody out in their field out there praying, we need to get back to those days. And it's all on us to do. It's our responsibility. But it all comes down to, are we in a place ourselves where God can use us? Where He can send that Spirit where he can send it over here and it be working and these people be talking, and send it over here at the same time and these people be talking, send it in here at the same time. All these people be talking and telling about Jesus and how he died and paid for the sin debt of everyone in the whole world, and what they must do to be saved, to repent to God, not some man that stands up here behind the pulpit. He can't do you no good. The only thing he can do is tell you about Jesus. That's all I can do. That's all Brother Moran can do, is tell you about Jesus, how that he died for your sin, how that he was raised on that third day. You think about flowers and how beautiful they are. It won't be long and those flowers will die and the seed will go down. But come next spring, you can take that seed and you can put it in the ground and it will be so beautiful. When you die to your sin, when you die to your sin, you will become the most precious and most beautiful flower to the Lord that ever was, just like all those that have been saved. You see, you got to die first. Die to your sins to be raised to that newness of life. And just like Jesus said, he has gone to prepare a place for you. If you're lost today, it's my prayer that you will seek God. Let the Spirit lead you to where you need to be, to call out to him, to cry out to him, to repent to him. That's what it takes, is repentance and faith. Have the faith, believing and knowing that he will save you. But you got to make that first move. Brother Strode, we have a song. I think about Moses. He was there on the side of the mountain, the bush. He looked up and there was a bush that was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. Moses said, he said, I'm going to turn and see this great sight. And the Bible tells us that when God saw that Moses had turned to him, that's when he spoke to him. You've got to turn to the Lord before he will speak to you. Before he will save your soul, you have to come to God. Thank you.